Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 28. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evil doers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them like them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I would like to begin our time together this morning in remembering 17 people. So let us listen. Alisa Al-Hadef, 14 years old. Scott Begel, 35 years old. Martin Duque Anguiano, 14 years old. Nicholas Duaret, 17 years old. Aaron Feast, 37 years old. Jamie Gutenbert, 14 years old. Christopher Hickson, 49 years old. Luke Hoyer, 15 years old. Kara Loughran, 14 years old. Gina Montalto, 14 years old. Joaquin Oliver, 17 years old. Alina Petty, 14 years old. Meadow Pollock, 18 years old. Helena Ramsey, 17 years old. Alexander Saxter, 14 years old. Carmen Shaintrop, 16 years old. Peter Wang, 15 years old. Lord, have mercy on their souls. Lord, have mercy on our souls. When I was a little boy, I vaguely remember this, but I also, part of my memory is from some of my siblings telling me these stories. So it's a mixture of my own memory and my siblings' memories. But I used to play church all the time. Those of you who know my story, which I won't get into, I felt like I was being called to be a preacher when I was 8 years old. Now, that didn't come to fruition until about 30 years later. But there for a while, my siblings tell me, and I do remember this, that I used to line them up and sit them in chairs, and we would play church. Being the good little Southern Baptist kids we were, it was the center of our lives anyway. And so that's what we would play. When I was interviewing with the pastoral nominating committee that called me to come be the pastor in this congregation, there was a phrase that came up in some conversations a few times from members of that committee, and it was, "We're looking for somebody who doesn't want to play church." We don't want to play church. You know, and in many ways, this passage we read this morning in Matthew, Jesus is speaking to people who are playing church. And it starts off saying, "Beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruit." And their fruit usually looks like that fruit you're looking at on our screen. So I thought it might be a good idea for us maybe to listen not to a false prophet, but to a true prophet. And so I went to the true prophet that my Old Testament professor taught me to go to. I went to Isaiah. And in the very first chapter of Isaiah, I want us to listen to these words very carefully. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil and learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, just in case we're not hearing this true prophet, what if it read like, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Washington, D.C., and Tallahassee, and every other state house and city hall in the country? Listen to the teaching of your God, you people of Florida and every other state and the United States. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? It's nothing to me. I've had enough of your burnt offerings. I've had enough of your giving me something. I do not delight in the blood of your young men and women sent off to war. I do not delight in the blood of young people of color being killed in the streets. I do not delight in families being broken up and sent around the world. I do not delight in children being shot in schools. When you come to appear before me, you trash my church. What you bring is futile. Your candles, your paraments are an abomination to me. Your church holidays, your worship of Sunday, your fancy worship services, I just can't endure them anymore. Your different religious festivals, they're just a burden to me. I am weary to the point that when you pray, I don't even hear you. Even though you pray, I don't listen, because your hands are full of blood. Wash your hands, wash your lives, make yourself clean, and remove these evil things from your lives. Cease doing these things and learn to do these things. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. And God says, let's argue about this. Because though your sins are drenched in blood, the blood of innocent people, they will be like snow. They will be like the soft white wool of the lamb. But only if you are willing to change. Then you will eat the good of the land. But if you don't do this, you will be devoured by guns and swords and bombs. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Sometimes I can imagine how weary God must be. Jesus tells us the same thing. If you'll just hear my words and act on them, then your house will be the house built on stone. And what are his words? This passage comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes we make ourselves weary. We walk around in the church, and as Christians, we walk around going, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about all these terrible, horrible things? And it's always right there in front of us. Isaiah is telling us this is what we need to do. Jesus is telling us this is what we need to do. We're beginning Lent. Lent is a time of introspection, self-examination. Lent is a time for us to really examine who we are and what we are all about. Our congregation will be engaging during this Lenten season in something that I have called values-based faith. We will be examining what are the true gospel values. Not all those religious things. We will be examining what are the values that Jesus calls us to. What are the values that Isaiah calls us to? Jesus himself told the people of his time when they said, Lord, what do we need? And he says, what do you mean, what do you need? You've got the law and the prophets. What else do you need? We have the gospel. What else do we need? Jesus says, act on it. Those who hear these words and act on them. So we will be examining over the next weeks of Lent in our worship service and in our Wednesday night studies the values of awe and wonder, grace, hope, faithfulness, love, justice, joy, service, peace, and human dignity. And we will be looking at these and asking, how are these values reflected in our lives? Personally, as a community of faith, as the church. What will be our fruit? Will our tree look like the next image? Is this the way we want to be known? Because Jesus says we are known by our fruit. Or if we choose to act and change our ways and to begin to live into the truth of the gospel, we could very well have the next tree. Which is abundance, enough to share. My friends, we are living in some times when the church, we, as followers of Jesus, need to stop playing church and be the church. Amen. You know, all those times I played church as a little boy, I don't remember ever once talking about feeding hungry people or clothing naked people or providing housing for homeless people or working in soup kitchens or protesting against violence or calling government officials to tell them what Christians really think and believe. I don't remember playing church that way. I think, my friends, what we hear in our scriptures this morning and what we hear on the television and on the internet and in our newspapers, we hear that not only is God weary, but we are weary. We are weary. We are tired. We are worn out. Our thoughts and prayers don't seem to be getting us anywhere. And it might be because God is not listening, because we have too much blood on our hands. I mentioned earlier my Old Testament professor who always pointed us toward Isaiah. And there's a reason for that, because Jesus looked to Isaiah. It's the gospel. And that professor, Walter Brueggemann, recently said, "The crisis in the U.S. church has almost nothing to do with being liberal or conservative. It has everything to do with giving up on the faith and discipline of our Christian baptism and settling for a common, generic U.S. identity that is part patriotism, part consumerism, part violence, and part affluence." These are the same ways that Isaiah described his day the same ways that Jesus described his day. And today is our day to be the church, to be the presence of Christ in the world. And it won't be easy. It never has been, and it never will be. But it is the only way to truly be who we are. Amen.